Welcome to the Rehab Your Life podcast. I am your host, Karen Malone, and I am a certified rehabilitation counselor dedicated to helping you rehab your life. Each week, I will be interviewing people to talk about how they have overcome struggles, and I will also share valuable information about a topic that will help you to move forward in your journey. I will also share tools and resources and any nuggets that I have found along the way. I will be challenging you to change your perspective, because when you change your thinking, you can change your life. Hey guys, thank you so much for returning to another episode of the Rehab Your Life Lunch and Learn series. I hope you guys had a great holiday weekend, and we are back at hump day again to just go ahead and rock out the rest of this week. So I wish you guys a good rest of your week. Today, we are going to be talking about how to identify, address, and prevent medical trauma. And last week, we talked a little bit about medical trauma, and I gave you the definition, but I'm also going to give you the definition again today. We're going to talk about ways that you can identify whether or not you are experiencing it, if there's also some ways that you can address it with your medical team, and most importantly, things that you can do to try to prevent medical trauma. So I always like to start with, who am I? I am the founder and executive director of Rehab Your Life Incorporated. It is a nonprofit organization that helps women to regain control of their lives after a major medical diagnosis. You know, diagnoses like cancer, multiple sclerosis, heart conditions, things of that nature, something that's significant that has made a major impact on their life. My background is that I have a bachelor's of science in workforce education, training, and development. I have a master's of science in rehabilitation counseling, and I'm also certified as a rehabilitation counselor as well as a community health worker. And I am also a two-time cancer survivor, as well as COVID survivor, and just a host of life experiences that I bring to the table to be able to help other women to be able to regain control of their lives after a major medical diagnosis as well. So let's talk about the definition of medical trauma. So this is trauma that has been experienced as the result of medical procedures, illnesses, and hospital stays that can have lasting effects. And those who experience medical trauma can develop clinically significant reactions, such as post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, depression, complicated grief, and somatic complaints. And in addition to this, they can also experience clinical disorders where it's secondary crises that include developmental issues, physical, existential, relational, occupational, spiritual, and of self. And that can lead people to seek counseling for ongoing support, growth, and healing. So I know that was a really long definition, but basically, you know, when you've gone through a life-altering medical situation and you're going through all different types of procedures and illnesses and you're in and out of the hospital, it really does have an effect on you, and it can affect you in a variety of ways, which I just listed. But the thing about what we do with Rehab Your Life is we're trying to educate people about medical trauma and then be able to offer them some tools and resources to be able to manage that and eventually get to a point where they feel like they have control over their lives, and then they can help to prevent themselves from experiencing additional traumas in this arena. And so, how would you know if you've experienced medical trauma? You know, many people have experienced it, but don't have the language for what they have experienced. So, for instance, if you have been given a medical diagnosis of something like cancer, diabetes, multiple sclerosis, and others, you know, just hearing certain diagnoses immediately cause fear to set in or questions around what type of lifestyle will you be able to have moving forward, things of that nature. You know, you are subjected to a lot of blood work that needs to be done. There's people who have a fear of needles, you know, whether they can't find the vein or even if you've gone through the procedure where you have a port, it's like almost like crazy. Every time you go for blood work, they want to access your port. No, I don't want you to access the port. It was very stressful just getting the port. So, you know, those types of things can arise in reference to just going for simple blood work. And CT scans. Now, a CT scan is different than an MRI, but both of them have loud noises. You're going into the machine, even though it may be open. You may have to do imaging that has contrast, which means they had to put in an IV, and then they're pumping into your body some iodine or some type of solution. And just that whole experience can be extremely nerve-wracking. And then ultrasounds. You know, a lot of people go, oh, it's just a simple ultrasound. Well, depending on the type of situation you may be having, there are internal ultrasounds that are done as well as external. You know, some of these come with a lot of uncomfortable pressure points as they're trying to position and be able to see what they need to see. For women, sometimes they go in vaginally so that they can see from the inside. And so even ultrasounds can cause medical trauma. And so, you know, because of the condition that you have, you may have experienced a variety of side effects, whether it be depression, anxiety, issues on the job where, you know, you just might not want to tell people what's going on until you know more. You may be having some identity crisis, you know, why is this happening to me? As well as spiritual crises, you know, Lord, how did you allow this to happen to me? And then there's just this, you know, sometimes you just don't feel like yourself and you can't quite put your finger on it. And so, you know, if you have been recently diagnosed, you know, are you experiencing any of these types of side effects of what you've been through? It could be pointing to the fact that you may have experienced medical trauma and just didn't realize it. So here are some other types of side effects, if you will, where you might be able to relate to. So if you're having any of these physical reactions where, you know, you're just fatigued or, you know, it's time to go for an appointment and you automatically get an upset stomach. You're having issues with sleeping, changes in your appetite. If you have chronic muscle tension, it's because internally you may be thinking of, you know, what you're going through and just tightening up every time you think about it. You may be having a variety of headaches, you know, different types of headaches that you may or may not have experienced before. You know, it might not be a migraine, but it's just, you know, a cluster headache, or, you know, you normally get headaches in the front, but now you're getting headaches in the back. And then all of these things can definitely affect your sexual life. And so these are just examples of some of the physical reactions that you may be experiencing. And then let's talk about the emotional reactions. You know, you may be feeling overwhelmed just with life in general. You may feel like you're helpless in your situation and that there's nothing that you can immediately do about it to change it. You may be feeling inadequate. There might be a sense of vulnerability that you've never had to be that vulnerable before. And this can cause you to have mood swings. This can cause you to have suicidal or violent thoughts or urges. You may just cry at the drop of a hat and just be irritable for no reason. these are some of the emotional reactions that you can have if you have experienced medical trauma. And, you know, as adults, we don't necessarily think of having behavioral reactions. But, you know, in truth, a lot of the things that we do, the behaviors that we do as adults, you know, can be rooted from our experiences with medical trauma. You know, we might want to isolate ourselves or withdraw because we don't want other people to know what's going on. There might be a sense of restlessness where we just can't sit down, we can't sit still, we're always moving. You know, changes in our alcohol or drug consumption. You know, having a glass of wine every now and again for some may not be a bad thing. But if you find that you are drinking the whole bottle instead of just a glass or two, then you need to really investigate and see, are there some underlying behavioral changes that you're going through? Same thing with drug consumption, being able to, you know, recreationally use drugs because they're legal in some places, you know, to each his own. But if you find yourself, you know, self-medicating and or utilizing drugs that, and these are behaviors you normally would not do, these are indicators, as well as changes in your relationships with others personally and professionally. You know, you may isolate yourself from family and friends and coworkers because you have these things going on and you don't want to tell anyone. And so these are just some ways that you can identify whether or not you are experiencing medical trauma. And then we also want to talk about cognitive reactions. This is one that a lot of people do not want to talk about, but you have to talk about it because this is the story or the narrative that is playing in your head. You know, when you get that diagnosis, there's a sense of disbelief. You have a sense of being numb, like time just stands still. And, you know, you may replay events over and over in your mind, you know, how did this happen? What did I do to cause this? Or did someone give me this? You know, there's all types of cognitive reactions that one has. And then, you know, because of the treatments that you may have experienced, you may have decreased concentration, confusion, or impaired memory. You may have difficulty making decisions or solving problems. You may even start to experience some distressing dreams or fantasies. And so you have to be extremely mindful of what is going on in your mind and in your thought life. And talk to someone. Don't just think that you have to go through things by yourself. So now let's talk about how you can address medical trauma. And so each person is different. Each experience is different. But the first thing that you have to do is be honest with yourself, your medical team, your family, and friends that you trust. Because it is normal to feel these things based on what you've been through. But you do not have to suffer in silence, and you do not have to stay stuck. Please talk to someone, even if it's just a little blurb about how you feel. It will allow you to take that off of your shoulders from having to hold it in and think that you can't tell anyone. And, you know, it's just a season that you find yourself in. Things will get better. Now, the first thing you have to do is, like I said, be honest with yourself, but also your medical team. Talk to your doctors and nurses about your experiences. If you have the 90-day planner, we have in there a section where you can list the medications that you're supposed to be taking, as well as the symptoms, and you can track those. And so write down how you feel so that you can clearly describe what you felt was traumatic and ask about ways to prepare yourself before your next appointment. So for instance, if you are taking a certain medication and it's causing burning in your mouth, write down that that was a symptom or a side effect from taking that medication. And then talk to your doctor, let them know what you are experiencing and that you need to take another medication. Or let's say you go in for a procedure every 90 days, but the procedure is extremely uncomfortable. You barely make it through it. What can you do to kind of pregame yourself? What can you do? Is it if you can take some pain medication beforehand, if they can add some numbing cream beforehand? There's a lot of different things that if you open your mouth and ask that they may be able to do prior to. You know, one of the most important things is to make sure that you are well hydrated, because if, you know, our bodies are made up of 75% water. And so if they're inserting things and they're moving organs around or doing different things invasively, you want to make sure that you're well hydrated so that your skin and that your body, your organs, are not rigid and that they're going to go with the flow. And so being hydrated is definitely one of those things that you can do, that you have control of. And so preventing medical trauma. Again, there are conversations that can be had with your medical team to identify pre-game ways that you can prepare for procedures. Another thing that you have in your actual control is to ask someone to go to your appointment with you. That way they can help to keep your mind busy through conversation. You can be telling them how you are feeling and let them offer to help you. You know, they can massage your shoulders, they can hold your hand, they can pack a snack for you. Different things that someone, that you can allow someone to do for you in that moment that will help to distract you in a good way from thinking about what you're about to experience. And, you know, those little things go a long way. We take for granted, and sometimes we're just like the Lone Ranger and go to our appointments by ourselves. And then, you know, you go home and you just pull the covers over your head. Well, that's not doing you any good, and it's not allowing other people to be able to love on you in the ways that they may desire to love on you. So again, you have control over some of the physical preparation things that you can do in conjunction with talking with your doctor, you know, making sure that you're taking your medications, because sometimes pain meds prior to an invasive procedure may help. Drinking enough water, like I said, you know, eat food if you can. Sometimes they will have you to fast before certain procedures, but other procedures you can eat up until a certain time. Make sure that you do, so you're not sitting there at the doctor's office with your stomach growling. You know, anytime when your body is depleted of something, it's going to not allow you to muster up the strength to get through whatever it is that you need to get through. So make sure that you have prepared yourself as you can for the procedure. I also recommend stretching. It helps to keep your body loose. It helps to relax your shoulders and your neck. And these are just things that you have within your control to be able to prepare yourself for addressing and preventing medical trauma. Mental preparation is also key. I know everyone hears about mindsets, mindset shift. Your mindset is so very important when you are in the thick of it and you are experiencing medical trauma and you're trying to get to the other side. So pray, if you pray before your appointment, and remind yourself that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. This has helped me on so many occasions where I've done all the other physical things that I could do, and then I had to mentally prepare. So whether you believe in meditation or you practice different ways to calm yourself, do the things that you know to do and to encourage yourself and remind yourself that you can do this. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Also, bring reading material or listen to music or podcasts or watch inspirational videos while you're waiting in the lobby. Again, these are good ways to distract yourself so that you can stay in the zone, if you will, as you prepare for undergoing a procedure that you may feel that is causing some trauma to you. And, you know, it could be anything that you bring with you, but you need to be able to positively distract yourself so that you can maintain a good positive mood, maintain, you know, if you will, your game face so that you can make it through. So, preventing medical trauma. Is it realistic to think that medical trauma can be prevented? And the honest answer is yes and no. You know, it's one of those things where the medical system has devised ways to be able to see into our bodies, whether it's invasively or laparoscopically. No matter what, based on the diagnosis that you have, there are going to be certain procedures that you have to undergo in order to get an honest and valid diagnosis. So from that perspective, the answer would be maybe not, because there's just going to be certain things that you have to do. But then, in my opinion, the answer shifts back to yes, because there might be older versions of things that still get the same answers that are not as invasive. There might be chemical ways to be able to do something instead of physically doing it to you. There may be other tests that can be done that get the same results. If you never ask, you never know. Also, just being able to prepare for things in different ways, whether it is, you know, believing that you can do all things, whether it is making sure you are hydrated and well fed and taking your medication and or adding pain medication. There are things that can be done to help to prevent the furthering of the medical trauma that you are experiencing. But working with someone like myself as a rehab counselor is a vital part of you gaining knowledge on what is available and how you can ask for the support that you need. So yes and no, it is possible and realistic to think that you can prevent medical trauma. So, going to wrap it up by providing you with some tips and suggestions. First of all, you have to talk to your medical team. Communication is key. You can add people to your medical team to support you. Working with a rehab counselor like myself and my community health workers, we can become a part of your medical team and help in supporting you and talking with your doctor. Ask questions. And if you don't get the answer that you desire, ask again and or take someone with you. Sometimes when we're in the zone and we're just trying to make it through the appointment, we forget how to or we forget to ask the questions. But if you take someone with you who may have written it down, then they can say, excuse me, I still, you know, I'm here to support her. And these are the questions that she asks. And so, you know, make sure that your requests are known in writing. You know, don't rush into making a decision. You can always do your research. Just because they say, okay, well, we need to get you scheduled as soon as possible, you know, you can always take a beat. That's what I say. Take a breath, take a beat. Think about what it is that you are facing, get a second or third opinion, and then make a decision. And you can ask them for more detailed information. Ask them to explain what they are doing throughout the procedure, literally throughout the procedure, if you desire to still be woke during the procedure. Or you can tell them in advance. You know, some things they won't put you all the way under anesthesia for. So you will be woke for certain things. And you can say stop if and when you say stop, they have to stop. And so you can prepare yourself for these things, putting those protocols in place, and make sure you gain clarity on your aftercare instructions. You know, a lot of times patients are released home and they don't fully understand what it is that what they need to do to ensure that they're going to recover well. So, you know, you don't have to suffer in silence. When you went to that appointment or when you were discharged, make sure you have someone with you. They are going to hear the same things that they said, and they can help to help you to gain clarity on the aftercare instructions. A lot of times when we don't hear the instructions well, we self-inflict the medical trauma onto ourselves. And we don't want to acknowledge that, but that is a part of it. If they say, make sure you take your medications on the hour, you know, every 4 hours, and then you're taking them every 6, and you're like, oh, but I'm in so much pain. Well, you let yourself go 2 hours before you took the next dosage. You caused yourself to be in additional pain. So we want to make sure that we gain clarity on the aftercare instructions, because that is where a lot of people actually feel like they have experienced medical trauma, even on the flip side of the procedure, because they did not have clear aftercare instructions. So I cannot stress that point enough. And lastly, I wanted to share a quote from Maya Angelou. It says, people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. And that, you know, goes on both sides, whether it was a good experience or whether it was a bad experience. People will never forget how you made them feel. And we here at Rehab Your Life hope that all of your experiences with us leave you feeling good, where you want to continue to work with us, where you want to continue to get to know us and grow with us. And so this is how you can connect with us. We are located at 7171 Highway 6 North, Suite 116 in Houston. Our phone number is 281-849-1307. And you can check us out on the internet at rehabyourlife.org. We are also on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, as well as Facebook and YouTube. And we are just so excited that you guys joined us today for our Lunch and Learn series. I hope to see you back again next week, where we will be talking about the 4 stages of adaptation, adapting to the changes that you have experienced through medical trauma. So I hope that you guys join us again next week. Have a great rest of your lunch. Hey guys, thank you so much for returning to the Rehab Your Life podcast. This is episode number 47, where I will share with you chapter 5 of my book, Lose to Win. It would make an awesome Christmas gift for someone who may be going through a cancer diagnosis, the loss of a child, or even a divorce or work issues. So I encourage you to pick up a copy. It is available on Amazon.com. Happy holidays. And there, so you have it. I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Rehab Your Life podcast. Be sure to like, comment, and share this episode with your friends. Please subscribe to my podcast so that you can get the latest episodes. Also, check me out on Facebook and Instagram at Rehab Your Life in the number 2. I hope that you have a blessed week. Goodbye for now.